Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Tuesday, December 19, and here are some of the stories we are covering. All is set for Wednesday's election in the Democratic Republic of Congo, although some are ambivalent.
Midnight Monday is the last day for campaign, and then there's one day rest, and on Wednesday, people are going to vote. So what is happening is that everybody's sending their message, vote for me, I'm the right person.
We'll speak with a civil society coordinator about lost voting cause. A candidate for Speaker of Liberia's House of Representatives will explain his goals if elected. Fuel depot fires in Guinea-Conakry that started Monday continue burning into the night.
Security services are deployed to save people, and the government this afternoon communicated 13 persons dead and 178 was wounded.
And the World Health Organization announces the inclusion of the bacterial disease NOMA in its official list of neglected tropical diseases. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, campaigning for Wednesday's December 20 presidential election has ended. Incumbent President Felix Tshisekedi facing tough competition from 24 other candidates. VOA's Abdul Shakur Abu is on assignment in the Democratic Republic of Congo's capital, Kinshasa. He tells me the Congolese are ready to cast their ballots, although some are ambivalent.
Everybody is wrapping up his and her campaign. Midnight Monday is the last day for campaign, and then there is one day rest, and on Wednesday, people are going to vote. So what is happening is that everybody is sending their message, vote for me, I'm the right person. And when you look at the atmosphere here, is that everybody is talking of change. It looks like they are taking a lot. Tshisekedi's government, because of corruption, he failed to make changes he had promised. So the other candidates are using that against Tshisekedi.
How would you describe the media coverage there of the campaign, particularly government media?
I would say I see that they're covering it quite fairly. They have tried a lot. I've been following the media. The media here, I think, has, to a certain extent, some freedom. I have to admit that I've not followed that much the government's radio, but I've been watching Tele 5, which is Kabila's radio television. And as far as I see, they have been balanced to a certain extent. The other media also, you see a lively debate of all sides.
Now, when we spoke yesterday, Shakur, you indicated that CENI, the election commission, had expressed positivity that the election will go on. What are you hearing? Are people pleased that the election will take place free, fair, and on time?
Well, the thing is that here, when you hear, is confusing a little bit. There are those who are saying that CENI is not ready. CENI has not sent in voting materials to far-reaching areas or to areas which they need to send. So there's a question about that. And then there's a question of the ID cards. And that is also creating havoc. So there have been some candidates who are calling for a postponement of that election. But some are saying there's no need to do a postponement, because if we do that postponement, we are giving them chance to steal the elections better. So I talked with one of the candidates, and he said, if they're not going to change the whole system the way they're asking, it's better they go on the 20th to elect, and whoever is the best candidate will win the vote.
Shakur, thank you so much again. We look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you very much. I'll be there.
That was Abdul Shakur Abu of the Swahili Service on assignment in the Democratic Republic of Congo's capital, Kinshasa. In the DRC, today, Tuesday, is a day for reflection as prospective voters ponder up over which of the candidates to vote for in Wednesday's general election. It comes as campaigning officially ended at 12 midnight on Monday. Placide Zilamba is the coordinator of civil society in North Kivu province. He tells VOA's Peter Clote that residents who lost their voter cards are at the offices of the electoral body to get new ones so that they can vote on Wednesday.
It confirmed that the people are ready to go to vote on Wednesday. because they just take their election card, and others who didn't lose their card, they are at this moment at the CENI office here in Goma to look the new cards in order to permit them to go to realize their vote on Wednesday.
Placide, what are people in the North Kivu province saying about how the CENI is organizing the elections so far?
It will be the first election on which CENI respect the calendar. And about the organization, there are some difficulties on which CENI didn't have good response until this moment, because on this moment, there are some materials of elections which are in the helicopters in way to go in far villages in North Kivu province.
What are people saying about the presidential candidates so far?
There were 26 candidates on presidential. Now, three who are making their campaign, but the others, they are not visible in the round. That's why in Goma, we saw Moise Katumbi, we saw Felix Tshisekedi, and Marte Fayulu, and Denis Mukwege. There are candidates which make campaign here on presidential elections. But others, they are going to join the camp of someone of those three or four candidates.
The four major candidates that you talk about, did they talk about the major issues that residents in North Kivu want them to resolve?
Yes, they talk about the security issues because it's the major problem of North Kivu province. They talk about conflicts of natural resources. They talk about the governance in North Kivu province. You know that now we are the governor military, and this province, it will be 2 years of the military governance. That's why some candidates talk about that situation and promise that they will do what they can succeed to help people to recover the peace environment.
As a civil society leader, did they talk about issues of civil society and the respect for human rights of people and the rule of law? Did they talk about issues that you have been fighting for?
About human rights, some candidates were talking about this situation and they promised that they will do what they can succeed in order to recover peace in here.
Placide Zilamba is the coordinator of civil society in North Kivu province, DRC. He was speaking with viewers Peter Clotte. In Guinea-Conakry, fires that started at midnight Monday from an explosion at a fuel depot are continuing to flare as authorities closed schools and service stations. The French news agency, AFP, quoting local media and residents, says the explosion happened at the state-owned oil company main depot on the Kalom district. Daouda Mohamed Kamara is the editor-in-chief of Espars FM. He tells me that the government announced late Monday that 13 people have died and 178 wounded, and that rescue effort was continuing.
Last night at 11 p.m., everything started with on the depot of the fuel. At the same time, there was a ship who were depoting the fuel. From last night, 11 p.m. to now, fire is burning there, and our security services are deployed to save people. And the government this afternoon communicated 13 persons dead and 178 was wounded. And so many buildings are touched with the windows.
How come so many people are dead? Where is the fuel depot located?
The fuel depot is located in the downtown Kalum, where all the administrations are. And we also have some of the greatest businesses in this side all the ministry departments are in Kaloum. And the fuel depot is by the side of the sea and not far from the building. Just a little street separated the fuel depot from the buildings. We have so many offices there, and where they call Cité Chemin de Fer, so many offices are there, private and public. And also, people are living all around the fuel depot.
Did you say that the fire was still burning as we speak?
It started, as I told you, at 11 p.m. when another ship was getting down the fuel. And that ship even didn't stay. As soon as the fire started, the ship went back on the sea to get far from the place. This fuel depot, some people say it was built 1990. Some people say it's before that date itself. Some 5-7 years ago, journalists started saying this depot should not any longer be in this area because the area is now full of people. Everything is going on around. And for the last events on this fuel depot, it was when some people tried to steal fuel. We used to see some things there, but for this one, this last night one, it surprised everybody.
The authorities, what are they doing to put out the fire?
Yes, they are fighting against the fire from last night till now. And this morning, they decided to close all the offices and also all the petrol stations, no movement, no school until maybe tomorrow because it was said for this day, for this Monday. But we don't know now as for tomorrow if the decision will continue to tomorrow or next tomorrow. We don't know yet. And the NGOs are also on the ground to assist the person who were wounded. And some of them are now, they have nowhere to go. Their houses are affected, and the government has taken the responsibility to get them to somewhere.
Dawuda Muhammad Kamara is the editor-in-chief of Espace FM. He was speaking with us from the capital, Conakry. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, December 19th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A candidate for Speaker of Liberia's House of Representatives says if he's elected, he will slash the Speaker's annual budget of $2.5 million by 20%. Honorable Richard Nabekun of President-elect Joseph Boakai's Unity Party says some of that money can be used to meet the needs of members and their constituents. He is running against current Deputy House Speaker Jonathan Fonatikofa of outgoing President George Weah's Coalition for Democratic Change Party. The speakership contest is taking place under the cloud of recent U.S. sanctions against two senators for allegedly offering or receiving bribes to manipulate the legislative process. Representative Kuhn tells me that winning the speakership would ensure President-elect Boakai's rescue policies are upheld.
Knowing the fact that my political party have won the election, we have a lot of programs and policy plans that we need to foster to make sure that the rescue process is upheld. We don't need an antagonistic relationship between the branches of government, but an independently coordinated one. So my reason for taking up this venture is to, first of all, be able to guide my party, my government, in a rightful path, because tomorrow, if anything happens, it affects all of us who are the rescuer. I am a financial expert. We need a standardized benefit and operational budget for members. Each member must have control over his or her own budget. Another thing is that members' welfare need to be prioritized by decreasing the speaker's budget by 20% and transfer to colleagues' budget line for their smooth operation. We will clear up our payroll of over 1,000 ghost names so as to realistic and living workforce among our staffers.
You mentioned one of your objectives, if you become speaker, is to reduce the budget of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. What is the budget like? Can you describe it for us?
In the past 6 years, I think it was around 2.5 million specifically for the Speaker.
What is that for?
It is for the Speaker operational activities, his salary, his movement, or staffers as well, and other infrastructure. I would take him for the period of 1 year with that amount of 2.5 million.
I also heard, Honorable, that the legislators get a lot of perks besides your salaries, including cars, personal drivers, gas, and phone calls per month. From your perspective, Honorable, is this reasonable, especially when at times civil servants do not get paid on time?
And that's why I keep emphasizing on the Speaker's budget. The Speaker alone, just first of all, equal having that amount, looking at the nation we are from and find ourselves in, even generating revenue is a serious problem for us. So I think with my own projection in reducing the Speaker's budget by 20% or even more in the near future, if things get so better.
I am only asking these questions because this is what I hear Liberians talk about. And one of the things I hear is that some of you running to be Speaker are spending thousands of dollars to bribe your fellow legislators to secure their support for you. Are you doing this or have you heard this?
Yes, my other colleagues are doing such. Mr. Baldwin, from where I sit, I don't have the first dime to be able to convince anybody. I'm being very realistic when it comes to this issue. I've been able to push my ideology to the greater extent to convince most of the new colleagues because I feel, since they're in the majority, they should have some sense of direction or else we'll be misled. What they are given today, they eat those money, they're going to be eating the entire 6 years. So it is better to sacrifice today. That makes up a very strong and restored sanity to the plenary so that tomorrow they will see themselves.
The U.S. government has just sanctioned two members of the legislature for alleged corruption and accepting bribes to pass legislation. What is your view on the sanctions? Have you ever accepted a bribe to do your job?
Mr. Bowden, this is a warning to some of us who are the new faces that will be representing our country. This is a serious caveat. We have to be careful of our job. We have to work with integrity. Even in the past, if any of us have done anything wrong this time around, looking at the stand from the American government, which is our speaker's ally, we need to be careful. And that's the precautionary measure I'm going to take to the legislature to make sure that all of our members don't only have the dignity, but they have to be very careful in executing transactions and dealing with the public at large.
Before I let you go, Honorable, if you are elected speaker, say you're lucky to be elected speaker, in a summary, what would you do differently to change the kind of perceived image that the Liberian people have of their legislative branch?
Like I said earlier, I will make sure that I restore dignity to the legislature. I will also inform my colleagues that you're just been privileged to serve. You are not qualified in honors. It is better you respect the constituents that you govern. Moreover, we need to understand, especially when our envelope is very tight, that the flashy vehicle that we run, the huge salaries, and all of these things we take home, we need to revisit them so that our country, revenue generated, revenue discovered, can be able to meet the demands of our common people.
Honorable Cohn, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin.
Honorable Richard Nambwekon is a candidate for Speaker of the Liberian House of Representatives. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia, in an effort to address one of the world's most under-recognized health challenges. The World Health Organization recently announced the inclusion of NOMA in its official list of neglected tropical diseases. The disease is mostly found in sub-Saharan Africa. Yuka Makino, and oral health technical officer with the World Health Organization and the WHO NOMA expert, tells viewers Caravan Dem that NOMA is a severe gangrenous disease of the mouth and face that primarily affects malnourished young children in areas of extreme poverty.
Snowma is, I mean, affect the children between the 2 to 6 years old, and then the found most commonly among the people living in poor community. And then the, it is reported that Africa is the most affected continent, but also many cases have been also, I mean, reported to Asia and the America and other regions. If, I mean, we can also find that like a same risk factor in other continents or other regions.
And I understand that it's mostly found in sub-Saharan Africa. Why is that?
Yeah, because as mentioned that currently, I mean, the Snowma cases more happened, I mean, like mostly common in the African continents. But because this is linked with, as mentioned, that the poverty issue and also malnutrition issue. But at the same time, if this kind of risk factor also, I mean, found in other areas such as Asia or America and other regions, the Snowma case also, I mean, can be found. For example, according to the recent SISMAT review, that during the last decade, I mean, 2010 to 2019, Snowma cases actually reported from 23 countries. That is not only the Africa, but also, I mean, Asia countries such as Afghanistan and also, I mean, China. And also, I mean, we also reported India and Indonesia and also, I mean, South America as well. I mean, Snowma is, prevalent in Africa region, but, I mean, beyond.
It just sounds like a horrible disease. It eats part of their face or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just must, the manifestation must be horrible. But you point out in your press release that there are some simple things people can do to try to avoid it. What are some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, because that this one linked with, for example, nutrition issue or hygienic issue, therefore, I mean, definitely promoting oral health and then the healthy nutrition definitely contribute to prevent the Snowma. But at the same time, because the Snowma also potentially can be linked with a curse or, witchcraft. Therefore, for example, parents found the Snowma affected children, potentially the parents, hide the children. Therefore, I mean, we also need to educate, for example, community health worker or traditional healer, or I mean, even like a primary care worker about Snowma, because people do not know about Snowma. I mean, raise awareness of Snowma, and then the avoid what I say, I mean, children go to the, I mean, health clinic, I mean, late stage. Because, I mean, of course, Snowma is preventable, but at the same time, if the children can access the health facility early stage, they can be, what I say, treated. Therefore, the raise awareness, social mobilization, and also what I say, I mean, the train the community and also the, I mean, primary care workers in order to early detect and then treat and the differ Snowma case really early stage.
That was Dr. Yuka Makino, the World Health Organization's Snowma disease expert. She was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam from Brazzaville in the Republic of Congo. Witnesses say Sudanese paramilitaries on Monday pressed deeper into the former safe haven of Wad Madani, the capital of Al Jazeera state, where they also seized the town of Rofa. It came a day after the paramilitary rapid support forces set up a base in Wad Madani, where their offensive has sent thousands fleeing Sudan's second city and former aid hub, many of them already displaced. Witnesses told the French news agency AFP that the paramilitary rapid support forces, the RSF, took control of Rufai, 40 to 25 miles north of Wad Madani. They said the RSF took over the army headquarters, the police office, and the hospital after a clash that lasted for 1 hour in the town. And that's it for this Tuesday, November 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your morning with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton, Washington, wishing that you will have an amazing Tuesday.